Welcome to the Run With Skill podcast, episode 14. In this episode, we talk to Daniel Gakara, a 2:15 marathon runner from Kenya, who will give listeners an insight into living, training and racing in Kenya. Hi, Daniel, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for welcoming me today to your podcast, and I'm happy talking with you. My name is Daniel Gakara, and I train in Ngong Hills, Nairobi, Kenya. And my favorite event that I do most is marathon, which I have a personal best of 2:15.
Wow. And in Nairobi, is that that's at altitude, is that correct? Is it?
Yeah. Ngong Hills is an altitude training area where most of the top Kenyan runners train. Like the last Olympic, we had one runner who did 5,000 in women, and she really did well. And also, we had another one in marathon. So it's a nice place for training. Actually, even in the past, we have a runner who won Boston 4 times, who used to train here. And The famous Paul Dagat, who is a great runner in Kenya and is now the president of NOC, is also a resident, and he has been training here for many years now.
Wow. Do you get to see him sometimes?
The first time I came from the village here, I just joined this group, and then before he retired, so I was with him all the day when we were training, and I had opportunity to run from him and also to see how the top runners, how they relate with other runners, and how they help the upcoming runners so that they can follow their footsteps.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so I think with your running achievements, what is the running achievement that you're most proud of?
My best achievement I can say is when I run my personal best. It is before when I had a problem in my knee when I went to States, which was in 2009. And I didn't perform because I had a problem with my knee. And I got examined, but the doctor said that it would be very hard for me to continue running in that high level. So I was devastated some month because I saw that my career was ending. But then I came back motivating myself, looking at watching the videos for other runners and also getting closer, especially in a group where I was training with Taragat. And then I get much in college, and after some months, I tried the Nairobi Marathon, where I ran my personal best. And they said, wow, I didn't expect it to run. My aim was to finish that marathon because I was told it's impossible to go that fast because of my knees, which was really bad by then. But I get healed well because of the rehab exercises and also resting well and putting the right training, and then I did my personal best. That was my personal best, and was the best year and the best time ever that I did with a beautiful heart. Yeah.
And the knee injury. So what year was that?
It was 2009.
Okay. Well, so 2009, you were told that you had a knee problem that you would restrict you from running quickly. And what did you change in your training then to be able to, you had to reduce your training, you had to do the rehab?
I started having a good rest after training and also taking it easy. There was no pressure because when I had that my career might end if I boost so hard, and then decided to decrease the training and also having good time talking with other runners because I was not training that hard. So I had good
Right.
time letting around. Then I ran the road during that time, and my motivation started growing. And then I started feeling that there is something inside me that giving me possible power that I can do it again. I can run out
Amazing.
there, but I tried to be patient until I felt it is now time to go out there and try it myself.
Wow, that's a great story that. And it, this may be an obvious question because you're in a place where there are lots of runners and there's lots of people that you look up to who have achieved great things in running. What motivated you to start running?
Initially from the village, we usually having a good time, like kids running around. And there is a very nice system in Kenya, in our elementary schools, that's primary school. The system initially was called primary schools. And then we have activities that the sports activities that we do. We have football, which is Kosoka in America, they call it. And then we have athletics, we have music. So having that as a part of relation, because we have physical education as a lesson, I used it because I liked it, because the teacher used to tell us to run like three laps in the 400 track, and then you can go there very fast, and then you come back, you are fast, you feel good, and the teacher can praise you, oh, you are doing good, amazing, and then you can do that exercise for at least 45 minutes. I think it will. It lasted for 5 minutes as a reason.
Wow.
And then from there, I started growing that passion for running. Initially, it was just a hobby, enjoying it. And I can say that one of my teachers used to send me because I was fat. In the village, there was no cars that you can take. And then
wow.
some stops are very far away. So the only thing you can do is to go there with your food. And then I used my food as running. And then I can come fast. Then I was like a favorite kid in school when the teacher can send me quickly and I was polite. I didn't argue with the teachers. I liked it. So that's why
you
I was
liked it
running fast and they come back. Yeah.
Wow. And so
that's
this,
how
you
it
would have
started.
Been, yeah, so you would have been 8 or 9 or maybe younger?
Yeah, I was very young. By then I was young. Elementary school, I was still very, very young around the. I don't remember a little while, and I can look, but it was young, about a very tender age. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then, so after you started running, you started at elementary school. Did you continue into high school, or did you take a break, or when did you start racing or competing?
Yeah. So as the system allows us to have every year, we used to have a competition that we meet with our school. After we meet school to go to the zono, then district, after district, division, after division, district, then provincial and the national level. If you manage to get the national level, but the my potential by then, I used to reach at the provincial level. And then, like I can remember very well when I had the provincial level, which was a very nice field. With other runners from other regions, and then was postponed 3, and they were only taking 1 and 2 to nationals. So I said, "Wow, I've tried considering my background and the situation at home. So this is the best I have seen. I've worked out." And then after elementary school, that's primary school, and then I joined the secondary school a few years. That's when I started realizing that I can change this running OP to be like a career, because I now started hearing a lot about runners, about the top runners in Kenya.
Yeah.
Then you can hear over the radio, somebody won a marathon somewhere, is coming, just bought a plane, and you know, you start getting motivated by those stories and news that you hear. And then I say, going to the city, you hear that guy and they say, oh, How did you get? Because PCB used to be for those people who have run it, and you see, so that's why I said I can keep trying to keep running it. So maybe one day I will get that point. But during my second school, that's high school, and also met a teacher. He was not from our community, was very far community, but he liked me because of that again. And they started encouraging me to keep running because he said, I've seen your talent in you, so keep running.
Keep
I
doing it,
see you
yeah.
can do it. Yes. So I kept doing that.
Yeah, okay, super. Who do you have a coach now, or when you were running at your best, did you have a coach?
During my primary school, that's a mental school, and secondary high school, I didn't have a coach then. I was only teachers, physical education teachers. We used to show us some exercise, and because they were within within the schedule, their program, I mean, lessons. And in high school also, we have the same system like the primary school where we usually do those runs. But now in high school, I was introduced to a new running, which was cross country, which we don't have in
Oh,
primary school. So
yes.
it also get me more inspired because I discovered that you can go across country, not inside the
Yeah.
400 track. And then you can run and come
It's
back,
more
which I
interesting.
was the best at that. Yeah. So from then, because of the background and the situation at home, which did not allow me to continue further, I dropped out of school because of that. And my life was not that really good in terms of getting more education like others. I didn't get that opportunity. And my parents were that not really able to support me continue my education. Now it was upon me to decide what I can do in my life. So, which was a very tough decision as a young kid, you cannot decide for yourself. And it was really hard. But because of the talent I had, learning talent I had, and the people I was who were around me and who were allowed to be around me helped me to stay disciplined and also to keep training. That's indeed when I won a road race, which was a junior 3 kilometer road race in 2003, and I won it. And I was given the first ever reward, which I saw with my eyes, and it was a little cash with a wrong tie.
But can
So-called
you say that
wrong
again,
tie.
please? It was a what? You got a prize?
Yes, I was a reward as a first run, as a first run, as a winner.
Yeah.
I was a reward of a small token of cash, and
Oh,
also
cash.
with a skin tight, a wrong tight. It was
Okay, the
a wrong
tights,
tight.
bottoms, yeah, okay.
And
Oh,
then
wow.
that changed everything, the way I saw running. So this is the first man I've seen inside the basket that I've given with the skin tight. This is a good sign, for me, for many things to come.
Wow. And so then
Yes.
you said that you had to make the decision between pursuing your education or running. And so how do you mind talking about how you balanced your training alongside work, or what did you do after you left high school?
Now, after high school, because of the challenge back home and the situation which made me drop out of school, so it was hard for me even to get the food. Getting food was hard. So I had to go to work people's farm to get at least something to eat, to get some clothes. You can get oversized clothes, you can work and you are given like large T-shirt, and then you are small. You have to try and manage it. At least you stay clothed, not no. So I used to work in that way while running, and running was not the customized because I was doing anything so long as it's about running. So to keep me motivated, not to Because if I meet the runners coming from school, I ask myself, now I'm not in school, what can I do? I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to be a thug. So I need to have a better life. And the only better life you can have is to do jobs that you can find, odd jobs. Like
just keep, yeah. No, I understand. Yeah.
The farms, yeah. And also get food and other stuff that you can get. It depends the kindness of that person you are working for. He can decide to give you something good. Sometimes he can give you food. So, but because you want to stay healthy and alive, then you can do that. Yeah, that was the hardest time of my life, because the decision to stay disciplined in that situation is really hard.
Yeah, when you don't
very,
know,
very hard, because you don't know what will happen tomorrow or how your life will be. You don't have hope that now maybe getting education to go to a university and then find a job. Now that hope for university is no more, and then the only option you have, maybe if you run the best, then you can have something. Progress from there.
Yeah, that so many listeners to this podcast will they will run because it's fun and it's enjoyable, and they do it next to a job. Whereas to try and understand what you're doing, is it's amazing that you don't know what the next day brings, yet you still run, and you probably. The running that you're doing, I'm guessing you're just running. You're running to keep motivated, and it motivates you to keep going. But there isn't were you joining in with other runners and doing interval training or different sessions, or were you just making the training up as you go along, just trying to keep it fun?
Yeah, so I was talking about the rise from the past. But currently, because now I'm grown up, I've interacted with many runners, many people. Now I come to realize that this is a serious business. And if I do it right, then the right way, and then I can go further, and I can even run and perform well. So I had to get the kind of training that would enable me to keep going. That's when I started joining groups in the village back then. And then after joining those groups, we had the opportunity to get the local teachers who acted like coaches, and they can keep us running and participating the local race, which was available by then. And then from there, and then I started realizing how it's getting a little bit easier and enjoyable as you meet many people, you encourage the other, you share your own challenges with others, and then you become a racer, and then you're very good.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, then,
that's
okay. What do you do now? Do you do you have because I heard about I think you mentioned that you have an athlete called Frederick in Sweden, that you have an exchange of watches, a website you've set up. Do you want to tell us about that?
Now, after running many years, going out, meeting a lot of people, also there was many good performance I have done so far. So I met Frederick, and when he was in Kenya, and we had a run together, and then I saw him around where we trained, where top men Kenya runner he, and then he went back, and then I asked him, you know, there is a feeling in me that needs to I need to help other runners to have a good meaning of life. Use their running in a positive way, and again I realized that I myself is not that well. I mean, I am not having the resource to do that. But if you can advise in any way, we can help these runners. Like the problem they had, the current was having a watch that you can use to monitor your training. It's a kind of motivation that keep runners to be responsible in their training and also to track their progress. I asked him if we can spread the word out there so that we can ask people to help us with running watches, and then we can help these other runners. Because I feel bad because of the same situation I used to pass when other runners are not able to do. You find a runner is really having a talent and passion, but there's no support. That's when I started.
So how many years has that been going? So I didn't, my question wasn't very clear, but it was about you set up an exchange with sports watches, the GPS watches that could help other runners to monitor their training. There's anyone with old watches just donates them, and then they get delivered to your village, and then you can distribute them to other runners. And have you had many? Has that been quite successful? Have you had a lot of watches? And after the starting of that charity?
Yeah, before Corona and even during Corona, we managed to raise farm, and it helped us really. Helped us a lot, because during Corona, you know, we were having the social distancing, and it helped us to connect to each other, because we were not in Kenya. We train as a tradition. We usually train in a group.
Yes,
and then it was the way we can see you did the training. So as I said, you have to be responsible and accountable for your training. That, we have to check, what did you do? So we opened a Strava page, and then we started broadening our running, doing even, there's a 5K we did as a challenge to each other, and then we did really well, sharing with each other the training we have done from any places we were, because others went home, others we left, we stayed in Ngong, in this place. So it was really nice thing that we did. And I really felt really nice, because I didn't know that the Corona would come and we have this kind of situation. But again, it also came to help us that it was the way to connect to each other during pandemic, to share with each other, and also to encourage each other.
That's a really, really good story. So with your running at the moment, so when you do your, if you're training for a marathon, do you try to plan your training? Say if you have a marathon in 6 months' time, will you plan your training with someone, or have you just used your own experience to do that?
Yeah, we usually, when we have like the last, in last October, we have a Nairobi marathon where I started with the, I have a coach, and now I have a coach. He's a professional runner. He used to run in many years back, even won Stockholm Marathon. So because of my experience, I've run, and I usually go to him, and we throw the program, and we decide, this is what you are going to do. This is now what you are working on until you reach this point, and then you start moving to the rest. I also, and me, have many other runners who look up me, because some cannot get the really coaches that they can
help them.
Then I help them, I transfer some training and they tell them this one can help. And I have seen it from the past, the sold, because Vast already done a personal best in 2017 was 1 hour, 17 minutes, which was really nice. For the first time, and this year there's a guy also ran 2 hours 17, which was really impressive again, because with the project we started with GPS watches, it has helped us, and I've seen the progress. For me, I used to start to see if they are accountable for the training you give them.
Yeah, they do
It is
that.
really
Yeah,
nice.
they do that. Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, it's like a feedback that you see. Was it the right thing that you told them? Is it what they did or they did their thing, you know?
Something else.
So, yeah.
Okay. And
So
so,
we set the program for the period of that month. Like a marathon, I usually go for 3 months
okay.
training
Rock.
for
Yeah,
the
that's
marathon,
interesting.
yeah.
Yeah.
And train twice a day, sometimes three a day. Like when I
Wow.
have speed work, I have to go for a warm up run in the morning. I come back, I eat something, I rest, and then I go at 10 for speed work in the track. And then I come back and hang around until at 4, and then again go for easy run.
Easy
So
run.
not every day that we have tri-ice, but most other days are tri-ice, but the most we do are twice a day. Yeah.
Twice a day, morning and evening. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, morning and evening. Yeah.
So what do you think a runner, say a Western runner or someone not from Kenya, could learn from the way that Kenyan runners train? Is there any things that do you see people like example people that come from England or America when they come to Kenya and you meet them, what do you see that they is there anything they could change? What do you think they could do differently?
The thing I can say is running is like a setup. It's a setup of a lot of stuff that you put together to help you move forward. Because I've seen many runners come from other countries, come to Kenya, but you find them going to the expensive hotels that they can pay. It's like they are also in Europe in Kenya, you know. For me, the real passion and the way you can run from other Kenyan runners and they see what they feel, like the journey they go through, the happiness they feel with each other when they are together, how they eat, what they eat, how they cook, what are the challenges within making the meal until you get into the depot. That's really impressive. If they join other runners, when you come to Kenya, I see that the best way you can have a best experience is you come, you join the Kenya runners, you be together. Don't be isolated out there having, let's say, a 5-star hotel. Go to them, you can run around. Their humility, their kindness, their sense, you know, their experience in life. Those are the things. They are very small. They are not seen. They are not reported. But when you see yourself, you can realize that these guys, us, we are driven by something bigger. But it looks very small that you can see with, you cannot see with your eyes, but you can see when you
You
stay with
experience
other
it.
runners.
Wow,
Yeah.
okay. Yeah.
For example, when you stay with these runners, you realize how they wake up, what they do. Why did they do that? Is it really what is it scientifically proven, or is it rituals, or is this the way of life? You know, in that way you can see guy down and see, hey, it is the way they do it so that they can discipline themselves to feed that kind of a person that who's looking to achieve something greater in life.
Well,
Yeah.
that's oh, thank you, Daniel. The interesting thing you said about training 3 times a day, that sounds like a lot, but I think you said that the doing the fast runners are just a little jog to loosen your legs, and then you do the speed session maybe on the track, it may be something else, and then you do an easy run in the evening. So how many do you when you're training at your like in that 3 month block before the marathon, what's the most training you do, like in term like how many hours in a week would you train your maximum?
Yeah, the training goes. It depends on your coach and
But for
your
you, for
goal.
you.
Yeah, for me, when I start, I start preparing for it. The first of all, I have to look at my fitness, my body fitness first, without even running. I see, am I healthy? If I'm healthy, I have to figure out, okay, I'm healthy, I don't have an injury, which I'm nursing currently, I'm feeling good. So this is the thing, I have to start building good mileage, because it's a kind of studying slow, because the race is very far there. You cannot study speed work today at high intensity, and you are going like 3 months, you cannot do that. But you start building and introducing speed, small, and then gradually coming up until you reach at the climax before descending to towards the race. So like, for example, my big block when I do a marathon training, I can go even 200 kilometers a week.
Wow, okay.
And then
200 kilometers, 200, in a, yeah, wow, okay. So yeah, 120 miles, yeah.
Yeah, that's my biggest block. When I call it the big base, when I build a lot of mileage. And then and I come down until I reach like 7 kilometers toward the rest day. So that's a day back week, I can go to that to 7. But in between, there's average training. Mileage per week, which is around 170, 160 to 180. 160 to 180 is okay. Training that, you are safe and you are doing good, because that means you are balancing a lot, because you have the morning. For example, I can say even in the morning we do 20 kilometers or 18 to 20 kilometers. And then in the evening, you have 8 kilometers up to 10, depends how you are feeling. But in the evening, it usually is very easy. Easy means when you can communicate with your friend and you are feeling good.
Yeah, you can talk. Yeah.
Yeah, you can talk together, having fun, talking about the day, or talking about the following day, is training, how, where, what time. Any story that can give you a talk to keep going.
You should be able to talk. Yeah, they well, English, we say the talk test, so you should be able to talk. Yeah.
Yes. But in the morning, in the morning it's a serious business.
Yeah.
When you start, it is like that. Then there is a day you go progress. There is a day you sustain that base in a really good. There is a day you do intervals in the track. There is a day we do fat rig. We like fat rig a lot in Kenya. There is no training track that you can find without a fat rig.
Yeah,
and we done in the in that road, that's which is the terrain, because terrains here you cannot find a flat course in Ngong.
It's very,
but some parts
undulated.
Of Kenya, yeah. That's why Patrick is good, because you cannot go to the same elevation. You go up down, and you build really well. Yeah,
it's great for spread. Okay, Fred. Danny. What's your next goal? What is your next goal? Do you have any races coming up?
Yeah, last month I did the Nairobi Marathon again. I did it in 2 hours 21. It was not my time I wanted, but I was really happy, because it has been wrong since I raced 2019, and we had a lot of doubts, that when it would be the race, will it be there or not? You know, those doubts. The training was not really going well, and there was some the challenges in between. But we said we have to go there, because it has now been confirmed, and try our best and see where we have reached. But again, to connect with our other runners, because we have been isolated for long. So this is the best way also to meet the runners, to see other runners what they have got. So. And then when I did that, I said, if I did the 220 with the fitness I had, and then I can do it. Now I'm having a spark in me that I have to test a fast or a hard marathon, which I mean, like, it will be in Kenya, because I want to do the fast marathon in Kenya before I look if I can get the opportunity to race outside. So. Earlier next year, I plan to have a marathon, a very nice marathon in Kenya, and then from there I can see the shape and see where I've reached, and then I can project now what I will do next. But for now, I am really focused on that. And the training has started progressing well. I don't have injury now. Although some challenges in between, but they are a part of life. So for
It's
us, we
always
accept
challenges, always challenges with life and running. You have to, yeah, it's true.
challenges, you see, some of us, like me, I'm not employed and I don't do work. So what I depend on running, and it has been wrong since I rest and get resources from there. There's me, the small business that we do, they cannot sustain you much to put that resources into running and help you. Going to that high level of running, you need a lot of resources, and the resources like good training tools, like food, and where
Treatment,
you don't
health,
have,
medical.
yes, and when you don't have something like pressure from landlords or landladies asking you for rentals or something like that, you have to have a peace of mind and start focusing on the race only. That's the challenge that you can get along the way. Yeah, but it is normal. Sometimes we have to go through that because it's the fact that we accept.
Yeah. Well, thank
Yes.
you, Daniel. Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I'll put a link to your the charity, the Watch Exchange charity, so hopefully you'll get more watches coming through. And I wish you good luck in your race, your marathon next year. And hopefully you continue to build from your on your training and don't have any injuries. And yeah, best of luck. But thank you for coming on, Daniel. Been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me, and stay blessed and have all for New Year.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, have a good New Year's and a good Christmas. Thank you.
Okay.